The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Today, we're going to be talking about something very important, which is the way in which our faith and obedience affects the calling that God has on our lives. You see, as Christians, our entire life needs to become focused and structured around Christ. This needs to be done in such a way to where when God calls us to do something, we are actually willing to rearrange our entire life, our schedule, our priorities, to make room for God in our lives. Consider, for example, the story of Noah. You see, the scripture tells us that sometime after Noah was 500 years old, after he had his final son, that God spoke to Noah and said that you're going to build an ark, and it's going to be of these dimensions, it's going to be made with these resources because there's a flood that's coming. So sometime after 500 years old, Noah begins to build this ark. And then the scripture also tells us that Noah was 600 years old when him and his family entered the ark. So sometime after 500, all the way up till 600 years old. This means at minimum, Noah was building this ark for decades. Now think of how that might have affected the day-to-day life of Noah. This means that a vast majority of Noah's resources were going to be dedicated to building the ark. This means the vast majority of Noah's time and energy were also going to be dedicated to building this ark. Imagine if this day and age, God says, hey, you're going to take on this construction project. Right? Well, that means that all the money you've been saving up, any spare money out of your paycheck, well, it's going to go to that construction project, right? Any free weekend you have, any free evening you have, right, is dedicated to now that new construction project. And let's face it, a lot of us, we've taken on renovation projects. Some of us decide, oh yeah, we'll just renovate this thing. We'll have it done in a month, right? And then month two comes, month three comes. Sometimes it's a second year and you're still stuck on that stupid renovation project. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody wants these never-ending construction projects, right? But if God comes in and says, you're going to do this thing, Noah, in his case, was willing to rearrange his life to obey God and devote his resources and his time. And what happens if by the time Noah got to year 10, what if his wife was getting kind of irritated? When are you going to be finished with this boat? Right? How much money are we going to devote to this boat? In those times, I'm not saying, you know, we don't actually know if his wife ever disagreed with Noah. I'm just trying to contextualize it in the modern times. Imagine you've taken on this project for 10 years, 20 years. We don't know how many decades Noah was building the ark, and that very well could have caused a strain on his family relationships where they might have been questioning, why are you spending so much time building this thing? But when that comes up, the answer has to be, the Lord directed me to build this thing. And it is in those times where we have to support one another and decide, yes, I am willing to obey the Lord, even if it inconveniences me. Now, isn't that amazing? Most people don't really think about that, which is, yeah, Noah built the ark. The scripture doesn't tell us that he was a carpenter or that he knew anything about building boats. Now, God pushed him potentially into a trade he was unfamiliar with, and he was willing to devote decades of his life in obedience to God. And we have to ask ourselves, if God asked us to do the same, something that would take decades of your life to complete with nothing to show for it, would you be willing to obey the Lord? And if a lot of us are honest with ourselves, the answer is oftentimes no. Because unfortunately, in our modern day, we don't want to be inconvenienced. We would rather that the Lord bless us at our own convenience. And we make plans for ourselves. We map out a whole life plan And then we pray to the Lord God, this is what I'm going to do, please bless it. We pray to the Lord God, this is what I'm going to do, please bless it. Okay? And many times, God's not even involved in that planning process. We'll decide everything we're going to do, the trade we're going to go into, how we're going to spend our free time, who we're going to marry. We decide all of these things, and then we don't even go to the Lord until we get into trouble. And then we cry out to God. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because something that we've talked about at length here at Freedom Fellowship Church and Sons of God International is that it is God's intention to bring about a transfer of wealth, influence, and affluence from the wicked to the righteous, okay? And this is not some get-rich-quick scheme. This is not some prosperity gospel. That is not what I'm talking about. When I talk about this, the reason why God wants to give his people resources and influence is because much of the influential industries in society, they have been mismanaged and abused by the wicked. And God wants to put his people in influence. So think about, for example, the arts and entertainment industry, Hollywood, television, music. Think of how many decades those industries have been run by wicked people. And think of the horrible effects and influences that have come from it. Generation after generation have been learning godlessness, to pursue hedonism, selfishness, selfish ambitions, and they have learned these things and been taught these things through our own media. And you think when the Lord looks at that, that he's pleased? No. God would much rather prefer that it is Christians, God-fearing, righteous people that are running these industries. Think of the global influence a place like Hollywood has and the influence that they have enacted around the entire world. Now imagine if that same influence was wielded by Christians who fear the Lord and obey him. This, over the course of generations, would bring revival around the world, the likes of which we've never seen. And that is just one industry, the media industry. There are many industries that have been mismanaged and been abused by wicked people because the church abandoned them and just let the world take over and Satan inhabited it. So God's intention is to bring his church to a place of influence and affluence, because in doing so, nations will begin to turn back to Christ. But this is what I want us to understand, which is that just because you call yourself a Christian, it does not mean you deserve to be in that position of wealth, influence, and affluence. And this is because the calling of the Lord does not come at your convenience. So we, the entire world, was saved because of the obedience of Noah. But Noah's obedience, he did it through fear and trembling and out of reverence to the Lord over the course of decades, right? That is unseen faith and obedience that he walked for decades. And now we, his name is in history, and we all reap the benefits of his obedience. You have somebody like Abraham, who was willing to abandon his father's household, his family, leave everything behind to go to some land that he knew nothing about because God called him. So the calling of the Lord does not come at our convenience. And it's not something that we choose for ourselves. It is something that the Spirit of God thrusts upon you, where God calls you out from your place of comfort, the place where you are that's familiar to you. And he says, come follow me. I'm going to lead you out into the wilderness. I'm going to lead you out into this place. But it's to bring you to a land that I have set aside for you to rule and reign as a king and a priest, right? But we have to take the step of faith. Now, this is something that so much of the faith doctrines, the word of faith movements, the prosperity gospel, have gotten wrong over the years. Because living by faith is not you choosing, I want this to happen, I want that to happen, so I'm going to invoke the name of Jesus, and then God is now obligated to give it to me. Okay? Oh, I want that house. So in the name of Jesus, I claim it. That is my house in the name of Jesus. Did you ask God if that is your house? Did you even involve God at all in your decision-making process? That is not what faith looks like. That is you taking your own will. I want this thing. And then you're putting the name of God on top of it, and you're expecting something to happen. Now, in the Bible, God blessed his people immensely, particularly those who were willing to sacrifice everything to come and obey him. Abraham became blessed. David became blessed. But Abraham didn't choose, God, I want the land of Canaan, give it to me. Abraham didn't even know about the land of Canaan. In fact, Abraham already had an inheritance lined up for him, but he had to be willing to give that up. God said, you're going to leave your father's household, leave everything behind to a land I will show you. So he had to leave this thing that was guaranteed to him, this security blanket, to go into the unknown and obey God. But Abraham became far more blessed, far more prosperous, because he was willing to obey the Lord, right? But Abraham didn't pick that calling. He didn't choose to be the father of many nations. Abraham probably just wanted a son to carry on his name. And I guarantee you there were many nights where that's all Abraham was praying for. God, I want a son. God, I want a son. I know that I'm getting old. I just want a son. But God's plan for Abraham was greater. Not only did God give Abraham a son, God made Abraham the father of many nations. And through Abraham's line, kings came forth, nations came forth, and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was born as one of his descendants. That is so far beyond anything Abraham would have chosen for himself. Do you understand that? But Abraham was willing to leave everything behind. In fact, the one thing that he desired most, to have a son, God even demanded that Abraham be willing to surrender and sacrifice Isaac, right? He approached Abraham and said, Abraham, take Isaac, the son whom you love, and bring him as a sacrifice to me. So when Abraham was confronted with this thing, do I obey God and sacrifice my son, whom I love, the thing that I have been praying for and fasting for and desiring for my entire life, the desire of my heart? Will I hold true to my own desire, or will I surrender it to God? When Abraham was confronted with that choice, he still chose God. And God remembered that. That is the kind of faith that Abraham had. And that is the kind of faith that is lacking in the church today. We want God to move at our convenience. We aren't willing to give up our desires and just lay them at the feet of Jesus. God, you know that I desire this. You know this is truly what I want. But even if you say no, I will obey you. Even if you never grant this to me, I will obey you. This is the price that is required of us to reach the full calling that God has for our lives. And understand, God is not asking us this out of cruelty or out of spite. It's really to show that we can be trusted with nations. Abraham inherited the entire land of Canaan. This was a transfer of wealth, influence, and affluence. And something that the Lord said to Abraham concerning the Canaanites is that the Lord said to Abraham, I believe it was, you know, in the fourth generation, in the fourth or fifth generation, your descendants will come back here and they will inhabit the land. But it won't be until that generation, because the wickedness and sin of the Canaanites and the Amorites has not yet reached its full. This means that over the course of generations, the Amorites and the Canaanites were given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to return to God. And after their wickedness reached its full, the Israelites came in and God said, now I'm going to establish a nation whose God is the Lord's, and they're going to inhabit the land rather than the wicked nations. Okay? This is what God is looking to do in every industry of society: media, technology, education, science, politics, healthcare. Every industry, God is looking at those places where the wickedness has reached its full. Corruption, greed, malice, godlessness. And he wants to place his people in those places of influence. But it will only come about if we, the church, are willing to fully obey God and surrender to him. And again, maybe you say to yourself, oh yeah, this is great. I want to be part of the transfer of wealth, influence, and affluence. I want to do this. I want to do that. No, it is not what you want. God's plan for you is better than what you're planning for yourself. You know that all the 12 tribes of Israel, God pre-planned what section of the land of Canaan they would inhabit. To the tribe of Manasseh, they received this plot of land. To the tribe of Benjamin, they received this plot of land. And they went tribe after tribe after tribe. Every tribe had an allotment that was designated by God himself. It is the same for you. Okay, so this idea of, well, I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to do that. Surrender it to the Lord and get your instructions from God and obey him. And for many of you, there are talents that God has cultivated. And some of them that maybe you're not even aware of, those talents that God has planted in you because of the great calling that God has for you. He gave you those talents, those abilities, and gifts because you're going to use them in establishing the kingdom of God. Now, I want us to read Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting with verse 1. And this is something that the Lord told Moses to deliver to the Israelites. It says, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors." This is very important. The precursor to the Israelites entering the land that God has promised them, the precursor to that is that they had to be careful to follow and obey every command that came from the Lord. Complete faith and obedience is the precursor to you stepping into the calling that God has for your life. Until you do that, you will continue to remain stuck where you are. Complete surrender, complete faith, complete obedience. And then after this, Moses reminds them of all the things that God did. Remember, God led you through the wilderness for 40 years. Remember that God delivered you from the Egyptians. It wasn't by your might. It wasn't by your hand, right? Pharaoh was powerful, but God with his mighty hand delivered you. And it's the same for us. We wouldn't be where we are today without the mercy and the grace of God. Even this nation, the United States of America, we as Americans so often take for granted the freedom we have here, but also the prosperity that we have here. And let me tell you, America is not prosperous and free because the American people are the hardest workers and the American people are the most godly and the most righteous. That's not the reason why. It's because of the obedience and the faith of those that came before us. And also, it's because of the grace of God. If it were not for the grace of God, America would have been in decline after decline decades ago. In the same way, the Israelites would have still been slaves to the Egyptians if not for the grace of God. And so Moses was reminding them of this. Look, God performed all these miracles for you. He did all of these things, and it wasn't by your might. It was because he's good and gracious. So then Moses reiterates again to them. He says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 6, "Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills." So this was a land that was abundant in resources. And this is the thing, the Israelites, think of the place they were coming from. They were coming from a position of slavery, of oppression, where they were being beaten down and whipped. And now God was taking them from there, from a place of defeat, and now bringing them into a place where they're operating in dominion and abundance. And that's the way that God operates. He takes us out of a place where we're in slavery and captivity and brings us to a place of abundance and peace and blessing. The Israelites, I guarantee you, would have been satisfied with an allotment of land where they could just grow some crops and they're not going to have any wars. but God had much more for them. And a lot of people, when they look at the map of Israel, don't realize that, you know, because sometimes when I, especially when I was younger, I would look at the map of Israel and I would think, man, that's a really small piece of land, right? The promised land's kind of small. What's the big deal about this little sliver of land? But the truth is that the land of Canaan was much bigger. If we were to look at the modern map, the land of Canaan didn't just encompass that small section of Israel. It also encompassed parts of Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria, right? It was a larger section of land. But something that's often overlooked as well is the position that the land of Canaan was in, right? So it's right there along the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea. This was so well positioned that much of the trade later on, coming from the far east all the way to the far west, would flow through Israel. This means that Israel was well positioned on the international stage before many of those international trade routes would have even been formed, right? The Israelites had no way of knowing this, but isn't it so, God, that not only would he place them in a land that was abundant in resources, but also a land that would put them in a very influential position in future international trade markets, right? So it was not just a land that would grant them wealth, it would also grant them influence and affluence. So these things God said to the Israelites, right? And he emphasized again and again, you must obey every command I am giving you. And remember me, that I am the one who brought you here. I am the one who did miracles on your behalf. Because if you do not remind yourself and you do not remind your children of what I did, you will forget me. And it says that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. You may say to yourself that it was my power and the strength of my hands that produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. So, as God is looking to bring his people to a position now of influence and affluence, and he's looking to raise up people in all of these industries, there's going to be a new media industry that's already, it's already forming now, by the way, guys. The undercurrents of the media industry that's going to replace the modern news industry and the modern Hollywood, it's already forming, and God is already positioning his people, okay? We have to remember when this happens that it was not our hand that did this. It was not our power or our talents that did this. It was the Lord Almighty who enabled us. Because if we are not careful, we may fall prey to the same sin of pride that the Israelites fell to when they forsook God. And we must not just remind ourselves. We have to remind ourselves daily. It is not just me. I'm relying on the Lord. But we have to remind our children and our children's children, so that when we graduate into heaven, they will continue to carry the torch after us, and they will run even farther than we did. We have to train them so that generation after generation will revere the Lord and will obey him completely. And if we take on this attitude, guys, the whole world, soon the gospel of Jesus Christ will reach every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and there will be revival around the world. And you see, Jesus said, this gospel will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. That's from the words of Jesus Christ himself, right? So Jesus is not returning until we've done our job here on earth. And the gospel of Jesus Christ has reached every nation, the entire world. Okay, so we've got a lot of work to do. But I hope you understand now, the calling of God does not come at our convenience. It is not something we pick for ourselves. I want to do this. Okay, God, bless it, please. No, God thrusts the calling upon you. He calls you out from where you are and he says, this is what I have called you to do. And we have to surrender to his calling. And when we do that, you will find that the calling of the Lord is far greater than any plan you could have made for yourself. But I am out of time for this week, so if this message was encouraging to you, I encourage you, go to our website and reach out to us. At sogmi.org, you can find the Prophetic Voice of Our Time. We're also now on YouTube, the Prophetic Voice of Our Time, Spotify, and Apple Music. But until next time, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.